There's a lot to say when buying a new home or car, but only one thing to say that can help you protect them. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Hear me?
I did. I heard you.
And just like that, a State Farm agent will be there to help you choose the coverage you need. You just say that and they show up. They come jumping out of a shrub.
Oh, cool.
No matter where you are in life, when you need the coverage options, your State Farm agent is there to help on the phone or in person. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Sona, how's your sock drawer looking?
It's messy. There's a lot of single socks.
Yep. I think it's time for a little spring cleaning.
Oh.
Check out Bombas. Once you try a pair, you'll never look at socks the same way again. I should know. I like my Bombas. Their spring collection has new garden party socks that bring the party to your feet. My feet have never been to a party. They've
so
got
sad.
Stripes and florals and new vintagey colored rib socks. You know, when I'm wearing Bombas, I feel like my feet are being caressed.
Oh, okay.
And cared for in a way they never have been in my life.
Hmm.
Get comfy this spring and give back with Bombas. Head over to bombas.com/Conan and use code Conan for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com/Conan and use code Conan at checkout. Hello, this is Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, Deep Dive with Dana Carvey. Hey, Dana.
Glad to be here, Conan.
It's a six-part mini-series where I, Conan O'Brien, along with occasional help from my assistant, Sona Movsesyan.
Hi.
And my producer, Matt Gourley.
Hi.
Go deep into the weeds with one of my favorite comedians and friends, Dana Carvey. Enjoy.
Fall is here, hear the yell. Back to school, ring the bell, brand new shoes, walking blues, climb the fence, books and pens, I can tell that we are gonna be friends, yes, I can tell that we are gonna be friends.
Hey, Conan O'Brien here, and I am God, I'm in heaven. I'm here with Dana Carvey again. I'm told this is our last mini episode together, Dana, but who knows? There could be more fun for us on the way. I've just been having so much fun. There's a lot to talk about.
It is fun. You know what's nice about this, these bite-sized ones, is because in a sense, we could do other ones where we philosophize, but it's sort of a combo of actually performing like we would if we were really goofy in the back of a car on the way to a gig.
Yes.
You know, where you just make each other laugh with
me. Well, one of the things that has been so nice about this podcast, and it's been particularly nice with you, is just capturing what it's like to hang out with Dana Carvey, and you're not one of those people that's brooding and sulking, and then you go off in a room and you come up with great stuff and you perform it for 5,000 people. You're a joy to be with when we grab sushi at the same restaurant that you always make me eat sushi at.
We do, yeah. We go to the same one the last five times.
Yeah, and you always say, meet me at that sushi restaurant, so I meet you there, and then you tell me, you always show me where David Spade's table is. And you go like, yeah, Spade eats over there. And I'm like, why do you guys eat at this one sushi restaurant? And why does Spade go over to one table and just sit there?
Well, for me, I'm kind of a recluse. Like, I'm really happy at home with my wife watching something cool on TV. You know, I got cool snacks, cool TV. I got my guitar. You know, people.
What's a cool snack?
Well, I got cool snacks. You
like,
know.
What is a cool snack?
You know, just cool snacks like
a
chips,
pomegranate roll up. What is a cool snack?
Like, mango sorbet, maybe a couple adult beverages. You know, I like a few beers. And,
sure, you do.
Delicious friends, golden friends. The other day, I asked myself for permission. Whether I could have another beer, and to my delight and surprise, myself said yes. Sometimes you get lucky.
So you enabled yourself.
But this restaurant, which, should we not say the name
of
it?
You can say the name of it.
It's called, well, then everyone's going to go. Okay, it's a really cool place.
Why can't they go? They can go.
You know, it's called Koi, but it's right, I can walk to it from my house.
What is it, on La Cienega?
Yeah, La Cienega. It's very dark. There's no paparazzi there for my celebrity friends. Not like I'm getting mobbed, but... It's dark. It has really good food. It's very mellow. We usually go early. It's empty.
It's very nice. We've had a couple of our show Christmas parties there. I just find it, we always sit in the back and howl like monkeys and improvise and act like fools. And then you always do point out to me like, yeah, that's where Spade sits over there. And I'm like, well, I just love that David Spade eats at one restaurant.
Even Dennis Miller met Spade and I there a while back, and he's eating the food and he goes, Christ sakes, Carmen, this is the best food I've ever had. I'm keeping this a secret, huh? What's the guy got to do to get a tiger roll?
Is he super conservative with you, Dennis Miller?
Dennis is...
Because he got his, you know, his humor became more conservative. I don't know if he's...
Yeah, he Nancy Pelosi, batshit crazy, crazy. I don't know. I mean, he says in the end of the day, Dennis says, I just want to keep half my money and kill the bad guys, okay?
What does that mean?
Well, a strong defense and topped out at a 50% tax.
I want to keep half my money.
Isn't everybody a little bit conservative and a little bit liberal? I mean, in other words, if there's anything about the American experiment, anything you want to conserve, then that's kind of conservative. If you do want a complete redo, top to bottom, that would be...
No. Bernie Sanders.
I hate myself. I'm a rich prick.
That's right. He found out recently.
He's a millionaire.
That because of someone found out that he wrote a book and the book sold so well that he was technically a millionaire and people called him on it.
Yeah.
And then you're funny being.
I hate myself. I hate myself. I'm a rich prick. The corporate. I used to do, I don't know if I did it before, on this series. I did Bernie Sanders as a crosswalk guard.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Don't proceed. Don't proceed. The system's rigged. The system's rigged. Don't proceed. Hey, mister, what do they call you? Bernie. Bernie Sanders. I never heard of you.
I think if you were on SNL now, you'd be doing a Bernie Sanders.
Well, SNL's, which is just different, Larry David really looked like Bernie Sanders. And so...
You know, it is strange. Yeah. The show changed that... You and Phil Hartman, back in the day, you guys would play everybody.
Yeah.
And then they got into this thing of let's bring in Matt Damon, let's bring in Alec Baldwin, let's bring in – it's different people. Let's bring in Robert De Niro. And I wonder if that ever pisses off the cast. Like, hey, what are we supposed to do?
I don't know. We were very lucky. I mean, we didn't really have that. I think Dan Aykroyd came in once and did Bob Dole, but that was about it.
Yeah, I remember that.
But yeah, I did George Bush Sr. doing that way. You know, when I did the Seinfeld thing, we were doing 4 hours. No, what do you do? No.
What were you doing? Just back it up in case people don't
comedians
know.
Comedians in cars
with
Jerry. And right as he's going to drop me off in the car, he goes, my favorite thing you ever did was George Bush Sr. And I go, really? Why? He goes, because it didn't sound anything like him. So it became like, you know, my stress puppet side of me. I do use George Bush Sr. making a list of what I'm doing in order to calm it down. So I'd be like, here we are. Counter needs a friend. Counter, Matt, Sonna, Dana, doing that thing. Talking, Earwolf, Stitcher, Conoco, monetization.
But you know what? I we've talked about this a lot. I'm never a fan of an accurate. If an impression is incredibly accurate, I get bored by it. What I love is when people are silly putty and they stretch it out. And so I remembered because I was there for the whole arc of it. You started doing George Bush Sr. And then you got to not gonna do it.
Yeah.
But then by the end, you're going, Nagada, Nagada, Nagada. And you were like, and I was delighted because I thought it's almost like you're gonna go insane if you don't stretch it out to the point of absurdity.
Kevin thinks I get bored, but I do think that was such a slow build that the audience came along with me.
Yes, they
did. So by then, Nagada. Here is something is interesting. I'm gonna play this for you and the listeners. So I had bronchitis in January. So I had seen Paul McCartney on 60 Minutes. And I realized that my Paul McCartney with bronchitis was a very different Paul McCartney, and it seemed like it captured something. So I started to record that morning because I knew I was going to run out of this when Paul comes off the road and the way he talks. So should I just press play?
Sure, yeah.
So here it is. And it's just, it just was a, it's a once in a lifetime chance to do a more accurate Paul. And I was just riffing, not
okay,
trying to be funny.
John and I, you know, we had a bit of a competition, you know, it's just normal, you know, we were mates, you know, we were lads. And it was like, you know, what's he doing? You know, what do I do? You know, he came up with the primary, you know, I want to hold your hand, you know, give me your hand, let's hold hands, you know, to do. You know, and I had, I saw her standing there, you know. She was just 17, a real beauty queen. And, you know, John said, well, hold on, let's not, you know, and you know what I mean, you know, it's just like changed the whole course. You know, so we collaborated in songs like that, you know, a lot, you know. When John came up with, you know, I'm only sleeping, you know, I'm sleeping, everybody leave me alone, you know. You know, after that, I had Eleanor Rigby, which is like a toe tapping away. George Martin says, put violins, you know, like, you know, Beethoven or something. It's like, do, 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 do. You know, Eleanor Rigby, you know, she's got a face and a jaw, a drawer. You know, she can find a face, do, do, all the people looking at her face. And, you know, these were great days. You know, we had a lot of fun. But.
Can I just say one thing? First of all, I love that you're obsessed with Paul for a brief time had bronchitis. So then you have to learn how to do him with bronchitis, which
yes.
is completely unnecessary.
In a different rhythm.
But hold on, hold on. I yes. want to get to something, but my favorite thing about your Paul is I know how he tries so hard to be casual about everything.
Yes.
So he when he references these iconic yeah. songs, I love that he intentionally doesn't know the lyrics.
Yes.
You know, she was just 17 and, you know, the beef was very lean. And you're like, no, that's not. And then doo-dee-doo-dee-doo. No, that wasn't it at all. And you know that's not it.
I know. Like I said, these are brilliant pop masterpieces. And that's extenuating his casualness about it to
yeah.
the point where he's just being so face in a jaw and no one knows who the face is. You know, doo-dee-doo-doo. Get the face in the face. You know, yesterday, where's yesterday? How about tomorrow? You know that song. Boo-dee-doo. So
I'm only sleeping, just leave me alone. No, that's not the song.
So this one was just me trying throughout the week, and my voice is a little raw now from screaming, but you said, who does George
yeah.
on one of our podcasts?
Yeah.
So I took it upon myself to try to find the beginnings of a George, not saying it's perfect. This is a quick one. Here it is, me in my apartment trying to think about how George Harrison's specific voice works.
John and Paul were sort of the primary songwriters of the Beatles in the early days, and I was sort of, you know, learning like an apprentice of some sort. And later on, I was very lucky to get a couple of A-sides before the band broke up, you know. But I really learned from John and Paul, you know, about the middle eight and certain chords and progressions and things. And then eventually, you know, maybe people would say the student became the teacher. You know, that's too cheeky, perhaps. But
so you're going insane, basically, doing the Beatles alone in your apartment.
Yes.
So what's happening in your life while you're deciding?
Well, first of all, everybody's gone. My wife is gone. There's nobody there.
Meaning they've left you forever.
Well, they basically, well, they're tired of a guy talking to himself in the dark. But this is how you learn impressions. You listen to yourself, then you do it again, you listen to yourself. So this Ringo is not completely accurate. But hold on.
I basically play for the singer.
Oh,
you know,
God.
He's up there
That's
singing,
good.
No reason
That's it.
Me bashing around in the back.
Wow.
You know, I had no brothers. I never had a brother. You know, I looked around and I asked my mom, you know, where's my brother? No brothers. Whenever I met those three lads, I go, hey, here's my brothers. I love having brothers.
That's it.
So
that's really, I think that's really good.
It's getting better.
I think the George is the harder one to get.
He's sort of the slow, careful guy.
Did you? He came by Saturday Night Live once when I was there.
I was not there,
and,
but sorry to miss it.
Yeah, he came by, and he and Lauren had been having a very nice evening,
of course,
and I think George had had quite a bit to drink, and he came in to the writers' room, and we were all stunned. You know, George Harrison walked in, and he was looking at us, and he was weaving a little bit on his feet, and he said, "Sorry, I'm as pissed as a newt." I'll never forget that. He said, "Sorry, I'm as pissed as a newt." And then we were like, "Oh my God." And he was like, "Why are you all staring at me?" And we were all staring at him because he's
yeah.
George Harrison. And then there was you know, the piano that's in the writer's
room?
Oh,
yeah.
He went and he sat at that piano and he started to play. And we were like, shit. a Beatles playing on this piano. And just then, as a joke, Al Franken came running out and slammed the piano shut and went, "Quiet! I'm trying to work."
And then he stopped the whole thing.
And,
even though
and
he
George
was
got scared and left. And I was like, "Al!" I mean, it was really funny to tell a Beatle to shut up with the music, but. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that happened.
You own a home, don't you, right? I lease down here. I have a home in Marin County.
What's that?
I have a home in Marin County, but I have a landlord down here in Los Angeles.
You have a landlord. So you live in a small apartment now, a very small apartment.
A town home.
And you pretend to be the Beatles all by yourself.
Or in my car.
Into your phone.
Yeah, if I took that challenge, I just became really interested between the last time we saw each other. It's like, well, what does George sound like? So I became very fascinated by that rhythm, you know. But I remember one time, you know, I've had trouble with landlords. I don't this time, but my wife and I rented a place in Malibu on the beach, and our landlord, I guess, was Eastern European. I don't know where he was from. Mm-hmm. But we had a $30,000 deposit. And then we leave, and the house is perfect. My wife kept it perfect and goes, "I keep deposit." I go, "What?" "Carpet is frayed, little bit of paint missing, I keep deposit." So then I had to get an attorney to sue him. Right. And so we do all that, and he's like, "Okay, you can have $30,000. No hard feelings. I tried to get, but you got it. Not a problem." It was just completely
cultural. Yeah, it was just like you can't blame a guy for trying.
Yeah, I try to get money. It's the way we barter. It's part of culture. Your money, I try to get. If you get, I'm not mad. I just, you got the money. That's all. No hard feelings, like on this podcast. You get in laugh, I get in laugh. You get in laugh, it's great. I try to get in laugh. You get in laugh, happy for you.
So literally, did he fold the minute you?
Yes, the minute we put pressure. All right, here's $30,000. Not a problem. Just, I didn't know you'd fight back.
I tried to steal.
Well, because what if you say, not worth it? Maybe I saw Wayne's World movie. Maybe you have so much money, you're like, fuck it, you can have it. I don't want to fight it. All of a sudden, I see army of attorneys come at me. I'm like, okay, you have money. I don't need it. No hard feelings. I tried to take your money, but I never tried to take your wife.
I love that guy. What's that guy's name?
Brasnazik Luko.
Now, Sony, you're laughing real hard over there. What's going on?
I know this guy.
You know this guy, don't you?
Yeah. I do.
Do you think he could potentially be someone that you know?
What are you trying to say?
No. What I'm saying is you come from a thriving Armenian culture.
Okay. But that's clearly not Armenian.
No,
but
he's not Armenian.
That guy.
I didn't want to give it a country. He might have been Russian. He might have been Bulgarian.
It sounds very
But Sona was laughing really. Sona, you were laughing really hard.
Because he's right. It is cultural. I think that if they see an mm-hmm. opportunity and they're like, why don't I just hold on to it? And then if he shows a bit of a fight, they're like, never mind. All it's not worth it. I know that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I find that the fascination with dialects, because, you know, a long time ago, we didn't have any language across the planet. So everyone was grunting, you know, for water. And then I was on the plains of France. At some point, some cave guy started to evolve that French dialect. Mm-hmm. You know, how did that? You know, trying to point them to water. Hey. So it's a cultural thing. It came from your stupid idiots. Look at the water. You can't even drink some water. And the Liverpudlians are always very curious people because everything sounds like a question.
Yes.
If you want to do Liverpool, did you go to the store? I told you. I went to the store. Well, you don't sound sure. I just told you. I went to the store. You can't sound humble with a French accent.
No, you can't.
I am not a very important person. You can't. So there's something cultural in this. I try to take your cattle, your sheep, your wife, your property. But if you want it, I give back. No hard feelings. I try to strip everything from you. But I give back. No hard feelings.
Sona, where else can you go surfing and skiing the same day, huh?
I don't know.
Or check out a world-class art museum and then camp at a dark sky sanctuary that night, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, where else can you hike through redwoods and then get a luxury spa treatment?
Where?
Well, you live there. California. California, Sona. No matter where California. You go across the state, you'll find a way to play. I'm a California resident. So are you. Sona, you are a lifelong California resident.
I'm a lifer. I love this place.
This is a beautiful state. Gorgeous. So many different, wonderful ecosystems in one state. You can hang out by a Palm Springs pool. You know, you can go whale watching. You can go hiking in Yosemite. And then talk about the great cities in California. You get all this amazing food, sushi, whatever you want. They got it in California. Hey, if you can't find it in California, man, you got a problem.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have done that. I made that up on my own. Anyway, I love California. Discover why California is the ultimate playground. Head to visitcalifornia.com to start planning your trip today. You know, it's incredible to have the flexibility to work in all sorts of places, whether it's taking video calls from the park or emailing large files while you're grocery shopping. Sona, this is good for you.
Is it?
Because you're always doing whatever work you do for me from fun locations.
But I like blaming it on not having reception.
I know, but you can't do that here. Working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network, which is why you should check out T-Mobile, Sona.
Okay.
Then you got no excuses. They're America's largest and fastest 5G network. With T-Mobile, you'll be covered in more places with the 5G speed you need for your life on the go. Plus, they also cover more highway miles with 5G than anybody else. Check it out if you don't believe me. Hey, Blay, you've got T-Mobile, right?
I do. I was actually just up in the woods in Idlewild. It was fantastic for the weekend, and my T-Mobile didn't miss it. My T-Mobile phone didn't miss it.
You know, I wouldn't think you'd need a cell phone because you speak so loudly into a microphone.
Well, I had to look some stuff up.
Just take it down.
I didn't know when brunch was.
I can hear him
when the restaurant's open for brunch.
Okay,
so I used my T-Mobile coverage to check
terrific,
out brunch. Blay.
That's all right. Anyway, wherever you are, you know, take it from the loud-speaking Blay. If you're on the go, you want to be in the know, you want to make the show.
What?
T-Mobile.
Okay.
That's the one for you.
That was
I should
weird.
Have rhymed it with go. Anyway, find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today. Coverage not available in some areas. Fastest based on median overall combined 5G speeds, according to analysis by Ookla of Speed Test Intelligence Data Q3 2023. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com. On the way in today, Sona, I was thinking about just how much has changed over the years.
Yeah.
You know, when I was a kid, we were all dancing the jitterbug and the watusi.
Okay.
And then you grow up now and there's mosh pits and everything's gone cuckoo. There's this new thing called rap. I don't know what's happening anymore. But guess what? In a world full of change, there's one thing that hasn't changed.
Mm-hmm.
The great taste of Miller Lite. Are you with me on this?
Oh, yeah, I'm right there with you.
Yeah, and you know, another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling.
Yeah.
I hate a filling beer. When I have a filling beer, I just want to sit down in a beanbag chair for 6 days, but not with Miller Lite. So what's the best thing about the original Lite beer?
Mm-hmm.
Back in 1975, the big debate in America was what's more important, that it's less filling, Miller Lite, or it tastes great.
Yeah.
The cool thing is when we all realized it's both.
Okay.
It's less filling and it tastes great.
Yeah, all right. Everybody wins.
Everybody wins. Miller Lite keeps it simple. Undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Conan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer.
Yeah.
Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer. Come on, if most people are being honest, no one really knows what you do for work, right?
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, especially if you're in a what I like to call B2B.
Oh,
you know?
What is that?
I'll explain.
Okay.
That's a business doing business with other businesses.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I call it B2B. It's a little thing. It's also, it's a boy band I'm working on. Anyway, fortunately, LinkedIn has a network of professionals who get what you do, and you can reach the right people who matter most to your company because they're LinkedIn.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
LinkedIn has over, this is the fun part to say, 1 billion members.
Are you serious?
Yeah. That's more people than are on Earth because there are people on the moon using it and Saturn. That's over 1 billion members on its platform, including 70 million decision makers. God, I'd like to meet a decision maker. Since LinkedIn members are regularly updating their work history, you can precisely build a target audience by job title, industry, company, and more. Man, you can reach the right people for your, I'm going to say it again, B2B business with LinkedIn ads.
Yeah.
Gets even better because LinkedIn will give you a $100 credit on your next campaign.
Mm.
There you go. Just go to linkedin.com/teamcoco to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/teamcoco. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Hey Conan, this is George W. Bush. Who does your hair? Stupid cuts.
Just non sequiturs that mean nothing to life.
Well, please, they're the best. They're the best. They're the best.
She wanted her. Did I do my avocado bit? It's not really a bit.
I don't think so, but just says avocado. I want to hear what
it is. In the middle of my notes, it just says avocado.
On your notes, it says avocado, and Sona wants, you know, Sona's hungry. She wants to hear about avocado.
That is when I most feel like a first world prick, is when I'm at, a big grocery store, and there's a wall of avocados, and I'm really getting mad that they're not ripe. You know, God damn it. And there's like 1,000 stupid, ripe, you know. And then you go up to the front and they go, would you like to help the children today? You ever get that one when you're at the cashier?
Yeah,
everyone's looking. How are you supposed to answer that? No, not really.
Not today.
Not today. Why do they need so much help?
Yeah.
And we're from another time. Do you carry your little, Whole Foods bag? Because I don't have the biodegradable bag. So they always go, would you like a bag?
And you got to buy it new every time.
And I go, I don't need a bag. I used to be a juggler. I'll just take my 19 items and get to the car. I need a bag. And then it's like the groceries are $98 and they're arguing over how many bags is he getting? I don't know. Could be two. It's 20 cents versus nine. You know, he's going for three. He's going for three bags. What the fuck is going on?
You bought $140. Nine avocados at Whole Foods. You know, people now are complaining. My wife today was complaining about Whole Foods and saying, ever since Amazon got it, I don't know. It's not the same old Whole Foods. And I'm thinking to myself, what do you mean? It's still got almond milk and oat milk and stuff that shouldn't be milk. I talk about white people problems. That is something that a certain kind of white person is complaining about these days, which is, it's not the same Whole Foods since Amazon bought it.
I'll see a group of young, attractive people with smartphones, with their Starbucks out in the street. It's just like the world is so stupid. And I hate it. It's so dark. It's so stupid. God damn it. Am I doing AOC? I don't even know.
I don't know.
The world
man.
Is, we have 12 years and cows are farting and planes are bad. It's like a cottage industry to me. If you think of the channels on the left and Fox News, how they'll just show clips of the other show. There should be just each channel. We just show Sean Hannity and they just show Rachel Maddow. Like the entire hour is just, can you believe what they said? Let's take a look.
And let's take a 55 minute look at what Rachel Maddow did.
I think they hang out. Don't they hang out at a bar all, Anderson Cooper and Tucker Carlson. You always know Tucker Carlson thinks he's landed a point when he giggles at the end.
Uh-huh.
Well, he said it's completely stupid.
He's a leprechaun that found gold.
Well, he's like a leprechaun. How could it do? Okay, I'll let you guys pick either Talk-A-Box, Godfather, or.
What's Talk-A-Box?
Talk-A-Box is basically in the essence about how the testosterone-driven male will always, take new technology and pervert it. So probably the first telegraph was like, to send medicine to Dodge City. The second one was, what are you wearing? And obviously Anthony Weiner would have had no capacity to take dick pics if that technology,
right.
He would have just been a guy naked with a raincoat in Central Park. We opened it. So then I thought, phones essentially came into the home maybe around 1910, and there might be one in the house. And I thought the man paw, the frontier man would go to town. And maybe at one point, some man decided to attempt phone sex with his frontier wife back at the house. Uh-huh. So it's kind of like, hello, Ma. Oh, wait, first of all,
operator, give me Lionel 4775. Hello, Ma, it's Pa. Pa, what are you doing calling me jibber-jabbing for no soft reason? I got 17 kids to attend to. I knew these old fangled tucker boxes would be up to no good. Well, Ma, these tucker boxes are kind of fun. See, I'm at the Five and Dime, and I had a sarsaparilla. Pa, what are you jibber-jabbing about? Well, Ma, there was a lady mannequin in the window. Cares about a lady mannequin in the window, Pa? Well, the lady mannequin was wearing nothing but her under things. And got a man a-thinking, Ma.
Thinking about what?
Well, I wondered what kind of underpanties you got on today.
You want to know about my underpanties?
Well, you have on those Carter Spanky briefs or those calico print pantaloons I got you in Dodge City last year.
Pa, you've lost your mind. Now bring back the bacon, the eggs, and the beans. Get your bottom here as soon as possible.
Well, no worry, Ma. While you're on your high horse, I satisfied myself right here in this newfangled tucker box. End scene.
And curtain down.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I love that.
Well, so the ones that make me happier,
Got a man a-thinking.
And the Carter Spanky briefs are those calico print pantaloons I got you in Dodge City last year. So those two things make my brain happy.
And she was in no way aroused. I love that. That was the part I liked.
Didn't get it at all.
Yeah. Oh, you and your crumpling.
My crumply dumply umpling. There's other ones.
Godfather.
Yeah, what's the Godfather all about?
Godfather was... because I got a couple extra dollars and I'm happy to do it. But I have an extended family that if someone needs help, I'm there to help, which I'm happy to do it. I'm not a materialist. I have extra money. America was good to
me. Probably a little resentful, but we'll explore that on another show.
So my wife one time quipped, hey, you're like the Godfather. So it was like, so then I just,
okay, what can I do for you, my son? A Godfather, we live in a Sherman Oaks. We'd like to add a newer bathroom to our house.
Bathrooms can be very expensive.
We'd like a hardwood floor, a dual vanities, a clawfoot tub, and a steamer shower.
That sounds very expensive. Here's what I'm prepared to do. I get your hardwood floor, single vanity, you keep your tub, no steam shower. Now get out of my sight.
Thank you, Godfather!
I love that guy lives in Sherman Oaks, too.
Okay, bring in the next one.
I got father. We have a grand of children. We want to take them to Lake Tahoe, but we got no watercraft.
Oh, kids like boats.
We think of buying a wave runner.
How expensive is a wave runner?
$12,000.
That's very expensive. Here's what I'm prepared to do. I get you a rubber dinghy, you get a bungee cord, an inner tube, you paddle, kids will have fun. Now get out of my sight.
Dang, you Godfather!
Last one.
Okay. Godfather, our daughters, we tried to get them into USC, but nobody take their applications.
You help me out with the Bambino problem, I can help you out. Do they do a sport?
They don't do the athletics, the Godfather. Please, we got to get them into USC.
Let's pretend they're rowers. Put them on the machine, take a picture. I know a guy who knows a guy. I give maybe $300,000-$500,000 to grease the palm and the kids are getting into USC.
Dang, Godfather! Dang, Godfather!
Why are these Italian immigrants? They have such sophisticated needs.
Why do they have Italian accents?
I don't know. I love it.
It's stuff that makes your brain happy.
It makes me
very
happy. I
want everybody to think about it. Because remember when I did your show, I got Andy to laugh really hard at Jimmy Carter going insane. Because I talk about all the presidents going insane, and how Jimmy Carter had a nervous breakdown right at the end of his presidency, and he literally is a peanut butter farmer.
Yeah.
So he had a vat of peanut butter and smear it on his head, and he would walk around.
And he's upset that he lost the election. He only got one term.
Yeah, and so he just went a little ballistic the last few months, and he would rub it on his head and wander around the White House at night, and the staff would go, "Are you okay, Mr. President?" I'm okay. Well, you got peanut butter on your hair. No, I don't got peanut butter on my hair. I got peanut butter hair. Are you okay, sir? I'm fine with my peanut butter hair. I'm a peanut butter man. You know, I'm a peanut butter president and a peanut butter man. I got a peanut butter tie, a peanut butter belt, peanut butter pants, and peanut butter shoes. I drive a peanut butter car, a peanut butter car. I brush with a peanut butter brush. A peanut butter man, a peanut butter car, a peanut butter. So that was.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I know.
And it's. And so was this again, if I were to knock on your door, let's say I was to walk up to your door in your apartment here in Los Angeles.
Yes.
And you were there alone. Is this what would I be hearing? Like,
peanut butter man. So everyone doesn't think I'm insane. I was in Dallas going down to play Houston. All the presidents were there for some big event. And so I had a flight of fancy that they would just ditch Jimmy Carter. So it was the idea of Bush Sr., Jr., Obama, and W are in the room, you know, and it's like, hey, you guys, this is Jimmy Carter. Can I come in? You're like, hey, stay quiet. Well, that's okay, Jimmy. Nothing's going on in here. You don't want to come in. Yeah. Well, I'll come in. I'll come in and hang out with you guys. Well, we'll be out in a bit. We're just kind of cruising down here, having fun. Yeah, we're just drawing up a map of the Middle East or something. Yep, we can't. We don't have the time to get you in here. Maybe another time. We can't do it now. That's all. So that was where Jimmy Carter came from, and then I had him having a nervous breakdown.
This is the final episode of our 6 miniseries run with Dana Carvey and
experimental.
I don't know about you. This is just a blast for me. I hope you're having fun.
Oh, totally. Because it was 6 episodes, I'm like, will we run out? But I know that it's a bottomless pit.
It's
especially with looping around and coming around and
where there's a bottomless pit of need, there's a bottomless pit of comedy. That's something I found out about myself a long time ago. And I think it applies to both of us.
Can't we ever declare victory and just sit on top of the mountain?
No.
No, we have to be quasi-tortured our whole...
Yes, we do.
Really?
That's the one thing therapists don't get. Therapists are like, you can be happy and still be funny. I'm out of here. And I'm not paying you anymore.
I feel like I have such a reservoir of neuroses and, you know, anger and sadness that needs to be filtered through the comedy that I'd like to be a little happier because it's a massive reservoir.
Yeah.
I could never run out.
Right.
So I'd like to get like 30% happier. The good part is the part that I struggle with in life is that I don't blame you. I've never thought to myself, this is really Conan's fault. My problems.
That's nice.
I've never thought to blame you.
I mean, I don't know why you would in the first place. Random pick.
But I just want to let you know, I have never thought, it's Conan. It's Conan. He's it. Yeah, that's it. He's the one.
Yeah, what's your name, mister?
What's your name?
Conan. Conan O'Brien. I don't know who that is. Wait, you're a guy with a podcast. I had a show first, and I still have the show.
Yeah, whatever.
All right, we're going to wrap this up, but let's
thank
see.
You. Thank you, Conan. Dana. Thank you. Sincerely, thank you.
And I sincerely
really
thank you for doing this. This is, if you asked me at any time in the last 20 years of my life, what would you most like to do? I might say, hey, what about a situation where I'm in a room with Dana and we have microphones and I just get to have the time of my life with him? So... God bless Dana Carvey, and maybe in the future, there's a chance for us to do more.
I'm grateful that this platform exists so that people, if they care, they're listening in and seeing us more organically being the way we are. And I think that's really a gift.
That's sincerely. The best part.
Yeah. So it's
I like
it's
really that,
fun.
And I like the fact that there's really good sushi about a 5-minute walk from where we're taping this right now.
Every time I do comedy with you, there's usually a meal component, even if I ate a half a ham right before I came. You can't turn on Conan. He gets those sad eyes.
We're going to wrap it up there.
I was kidding. He was always
like
brilliant.
Nice guy and his ideas. All right, Dana Carvey, I'll see you soon.
See you soon. La-di-da.
Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, with Sonam Ovsesian and Conan O'Brien as himself. Produced by me, Matt Gourley. Executive produced by Adam Sachs and Jeff Ross at Team Coco, and Chris Bannon and Colin Anderson at Earwolf. Special thanks to Jack White for the theme song. Incidental music by Jimmy Vivino. Our supervising producer is Aaron Blair, and the show is engineered by Will Beckton. You can rate and review this show on Apple Podcasts, and you might find your review featured on a future episode. Got a question for Conan? Call the Team Coco hotline at 323-451-2821 and leave a message. It too could be featured on a future episode. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend on Apple Podcasts or wherever fine podcasts are downloaded.
This has been a Team Coco production in association with Earwolf.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend is sponsored by ADT. Now ADT professionally installs Google Nest products so your home is safe and smart. Google Nest cams can tell the difference between a person, an animal, and a vehicle. Mm. Or with Nest Doorbell, even a package. I can't tell the difference between those things. That's incredible. And with Nest Aware as part of your monthly ADT service, you get 30 days of event video history. Plus, when every second counts, you can trust ADT's 24/7 professional monitoring. Go to ADT.com today or call 1-800-ADT. ASAP. Google, Nest Cam, Nest Doorbell, and Nest Aware are trademarks of Google LLC.